You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. And we are pre-taping today. Today is Thursday, December 16th, and we're in part three of our interview with Barb Anderson, who's a researcher and writer with the Minnesota Family Council. Before I get to Barb, as we speak, now I don't know, this is airing Saturday. Right now, the debate on homosexuality in the military is intense. I was looking at the gay lobbying effort. It's incredibly more sophisticated and energetic, I think, than the pro-family side. And we are, it looks very close, within a vote or two of homosexualizing the military with a vote in the Senate. As I say this, and this is the 16th December, yesterday, the 15th of December, the House passed to repeal the ban on homosexuality in the military, and now it's up for the Senate. By the time you listen to this, either we will not have passed it, in which I encourage you to make your voice heard to the Senate, to your senators, wherever you're listening. Here in Illinois, it's Mark Kirk is the one who can be influenced. Dick Durbin is pretty much gone on this issue. He's on their side. This is incredibly important, I think, for our nation. I think this is probably the most important national congressional action ever on any vote dealing with homosexuality. And the reasons are many. It's of course, there are implications for the soldiers, for military readiness and morale. But I think even beyond that, just as our nation sits on the precipice of state-sanctioned homosexuality in the armed forces, I think it's a huge, huge issue. And I finally got to reading the Department of Defense Working Group report, and it's fascinating. It's supposed to be selling Obama's plan to homosexualize the military, but there's so much in there which would indicate to me that we should proceed with caution rather than rushing this through at Christmas. I mean, it's like Obama's Christmas present to the troops is open homosexuality in the armed forces. What a guy. But let me read a couple quotes from people. They have. It turns out that in the freely solicited comments from soldiers and service members, more came in that were opposed to the policy than opposed the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell than which actually favored it. And here's just a couple. One person wrote in, according to this DOD report, "I do not have to shower or sleep in a room with men." This is a woman writing. "I do not have to shower or sleep in a room with men, so I do not want to shower or sleep in the same room as a woman who is homosexual. I would feel uncomfortable changing and sleeping as I would feel as uncomfortable changing and sleeping as I would if it was a man in the room. I should not have to accept this." On the trust issue, "I cannot rely on someone who I don't feel comfortable with, nor can they trust me. A lack of trust turns into a lack of cohesion, which eventually leads to mission failure." And on and on the comments go, and then of course they give the pro-gay comments. But I thought one of the interesting ones from the people who oppose the repeal on homosexuality, the ban on homosexuality, concerns our society, our standards as a nation. Let me see if I could find that. All of a sudden, I'm not finding it. But essentially, what one person wrote is that, you know, the military is the last bastion of, well, here it is. "People view the military as the last bastion of morals and what is good. If we break that down here, what does it boil down to? What's left?" And this is something that a lot of the discussions don't talk on, which is the effect on morality and our national standing. People practicing homosexuality is one thing. In their privacy, that is a right in this country, at least right now. But having the government get behind the view that homosexuality is okay and good and wonderful and open homosexuality is good for the troops is quite another. And it's just a sad day to think that we're this close to the open embrace of homosexuality in our armed forces. So we will have more on this as we get the results. But if the vote has not happened in the Senate by the time this airs, please call your senators at 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. And always, if the vote doesn't go your way or it does, let them know how you feel about their vote. But as I said, we're in part 3 of an interview with Barb Anderson. And Barb, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Peter. I appreciate being invited back.
Well, thank you. And thank you for staying on the line here as I go on about this, Barb. Isn't it a sad thing to think of the United States military enforcing a pro-homosexuality policy?
Well, this isn't really a Christmas present for our troops. It's a huge lump of coal being dumped on them. And government-sanctioned homosexuality in the military is just going to bring even more of this into the schools.
Yeah, and absolutely. And that's one of the fears that's in this working group report, Barb, is some parents said they don't want to have that foisted on their children in the schools, which, of course, it would redound to the schools. And that's what you've seen, and that's what you're a specialist on. Barb Anderson is a grandmother and a mother. She works for the Minnesota Family Council, and she is one of the nation's leading experts on this push to for the acceptance of homosexuality, bisexuality, and transsexuality, sometimes called, often called transgenderism, in schools. And Barb, give us just a quick refresher on how you got involved in this.
Well, I got involved, I guess, about 20 years ago now when my nephew was in a sex education curriculum class that was promoting a very promiscuous type of sex education with just dumping information and giving choices to students that parents were not giving to them, and also teaching that homosexuality was normal and 10% of the population is gay using false Kinsey statistics. So that really got me started on a journey into investigating curriculum materials and not only sex education but AIDS education, and now a whole influx of pro-gay materials that we see in the schools.
And it's gotten so much worse, I'm sure, since you began, Barb.
Oh, yes, it has.
And I got to say, you know, the other side, I think, out-organizes us. When you look at the proliferation of homosexual activist groups highly specialized in each individual area, it's no wonder they're winning, because it almost seems as if they want it more than we want to stop it, Barb.
They are so committed, they are so bold, and we need to learn from them in that sense, in that we need to move forward and be more bold with the truth and not back up, and we have to stand firm. And what we need really are just more warriors out there, parents that are willing to look into the curriculum materials, see what the children are learning, and if they disagree with it, speak up.
But parents aren't really bold for the most part, as we talked about earlier. And by the way, part 1 and part 2 of our interview with Barb is at www.americansfortruth.org. That's americansfortruth.org. And Barb's website for the Minnesota Family Council, where she is a researcher and a writer, is www.mfc, as in Minnesota Family Council.org. But Barb, isn't the problem with the whole public school system is that so few people stand up and so many people are intimidated that it almost gives the elites, the sort of people pushing the agenda, it gives them a lot of leeway and they get a lot of cover for what they're doing.
It really does embolden them when they see that parents are going to back off, because they figure that they can, all they have to do is keep making baby steps and moving forward. And when parents are afraid to speak up, they have no fear, and so we need to do a better job of training our parents and training our kids to speak up in the classroom as well. And I just feel like if we don't do this, that we're going to be shoved into the closet, the lock's going to go on, and we're going to have a time in the future when we won't be able to speak out.
Right, and you know, we have to remember we're talking about pushing an immoral lifestyle here. Homosexuality takes many different forms. But from a Christian viewpoint, and from the viewpoint of a lot of other major religions as well, traditional religions, it is not an acceptable lifestyle, and yet we see it being promoted, they would say affirmed, in the schools. And we're going to talk about these safe schools kit Safe Space kit that's come out by GLSEN, the Gay and Lesbian Straight Education Network, Barb. But 2 minutes until this next break, can you tell me, give us again, what is, if somebody comes up to you and says, Barb, you know, what you're doing is contributing to the violence and suicide among gay youth, how do you respond?
Well, that is one of the tactics that they're using now, to say that by not legitimizing and normalizing homosexuality, we're creating an atmosphere in the schools that is hostile to quote-unquote gay kids. What they are doing is they are doing just the opposite themselves. They are creating an environment where these children that are sexually confused suddenly become affirmed as a homosexual, or that they're born that way, and then these kids are locked into a lifestyle with their choices limited, and many times this can be disastrous to them as they get into the behavior, which leads to disease and death in some cases. So it's really, they are the ones that are contributing to an atmosphere that can even increase bullying as more kids get into this kind of a lifestyle.
Yeah, and there's going to be more kids who get into it because it is actually being promoted. When you take something which was historically regarded as taboo and aberrant, and then you say, no, this is just an okay way to live, and not only that, it's protected, and you have these safe spaces where it's of course, it's encouraging the idea of homosexuality as an identity, you're going to have more kids experimenting with that.
Well, and then you have kids that they want to have something to rally around. Young people want to take on an identity, something that they can fight for, that they feel is a right and just cause. And when they portray homosexuals as victims, as a minority, you get many children that jump on board just because they want to sympathize with them. And they don't realize they're getting on board a train that is leading down a track that's going to be very harmful to them and to their friends.
All right. Thank you, Barb. We're talking to Barb Anderson of the Minnesota Family Council. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Pete LaBarber with Americans for Truth Hour. We're talking to Barb Anderson, who's a friend and also a writer-researcher with the Minnesota Family Council. Barb has done some wonderful work exposing some of the baloney that's being taught in the name of tolerance and diversity and multiculturalism. Barb, we were talking off the air about the latest project of the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network. First of all, explain to our listeners, what is the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, otherwise known as GLSEN?
Well, they are the driving force, really the clearinghouse for all of the homosexual propaganda that's coming into the schools. And GLSEN has local chapters as well in different states, and they are trying to get the curriculum changed and transformed in the schools to integrate pro-gay themes in every subject matter at every grade level. GLSEN also promotes getting gay-themed literature for children to read, which in most cases is extremely obscene and pornographic, and they also are behind getting the gay-straight alliances in the schools. And in our school district, we have them in the high schools, and now we have the first one in the middle school. And as you know, they are hoping to get gay-straight alliances into the elementary schools as well. So this is a real dangerous organization. They are what I would call a child corruption organization, basically. And
now, Barbara, hold on 1 second. The middle schools. Now, that we're usually talking about, 12, 13, 14-year-old kids?
Yes, yes.
And so now, where was the one?
Impressionable ages.
Yes, and very impressionable. And this school that successfully got a GSA, a Gay Straight Alliance in the middle school, where was that in your area?
It is in Anoka-Hennepin School District, and is Fred Moore Middle School for the Arts. And it's interesting that they targeted an arts school to begin with, and because a lot of times you have homosexual teachers in that type of environment working with the students. And so these are students that tend to be sometimes very creative and unique in their personalities. And so it seems to be an area where they try to get in and get the students to get involved in gay-themed productions as well. There is a new one that has been making the rounds in Minnesota called Stuck in the Middle. And this one does bring in normalizing homosexuality, and that coming out is just a normal part of growing up in middle school.
Wow. So this is now in the middle school, and so we're talking about boys, 12, 13, 14, girls, and, you know, how has the administration of the school responded to this?
Well, because of the Equal Access Act, they feel that they have to allow that in our school, and they have not been able to put a stop to it. But there are parents now that are getting organized and trying to plead the case that this really is harmful to students. It is not providing them with any healthy information. None of this is based on truth or scientific fact, especially when they're telling the kids that they're born that way. And when they get other kids that don't even are not even taking on the gay identity to come to the clubs, they train them really to be allies and advocates. And, of course, these kids think this is great. It plays on their emotions, and they think they can be a hero by helping these downtrodden so-called gay students.
Right. Now that's what I wanted to get in with you is how the other side is so successfully used the victim status.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's be clear. There are victims who, kids who identify as homosexual, this is who they think they are, and terrible things have happened to these kids.
Oh, and, absolutely. I mean, some of the bullying has just been awful, and there are truly victims that have been
right.
bullied to the extent of harming themselves.
But there are other kids with other who identify themselves other way or are also part of, you know, picked on categories. For example, overweight kids. This seems to be the one group where they're fighting for special recognition of that criteria. And that's the difference.
Right. The other categories of kids that are picked on for, like you said, for being overweight or being too skinny or, you know, bad complexions, these kids don't get any special protection or special attention. And instead, GLSEN comes in with their training programs because of the gay students that are victimized. There are no special training programs for children that are victimized for other causes.
Yes, and so, you know, I've always said, and I'm sure you agree, and you've probably said it as well, you can protect kids without promoting homosexuality as normative, and that's what we support. We support anti-bullying programs that have no special criteria.
We're strongly opposed to bullying in all cases, and we across the board, and all students should receive the same level of protection and respect.
Yeah, you know, the kind of kid who picks on a weaker kid is sort of a creep, you know, and you don't want to reward these bullies. You want to come down hard on them in a school atmosphere. But promoting homosexuality is quite another thing. And that's where now there have been some states where they in school districts where they have agreed to generic anti-bullying programs. But clearly the homosexual side sees this as sort of a Trojan horse because they've been able to bring in pro-gay propaganda in the name of curricula and instruction to stop bullying, right?
Yeah, they're always ahead of the game somehow here. They have, I think they create a situation, they kind of help create a crisis, and then they come in with their curriculum. They're all ready to go with this, just like the no-name calling that, you know, came out of GLSEN as well. And so they have a curriculum ready for that. And, of course, it takes a little detour into promoting homosexuality, like all of their ideas and that come out of GLSEN do.
Yeah, if only no name calling week, if only the homosexual activists could apply that to themselves, that would be some progress.
Oh,
they love calling names. I mean, hey, they call me Porno P, you know, under this because we expose homosexual lewdness and perversion. You know, we have some interest in it in ourselves, and they're just great at calling people names. Kevin Jennings, the founder of GLSEN, who is now working for the Department of Education under Barack Obama, he once used the F word to describe his attitude towards conservative Christians in a church, no less. So Kevin yeah. Jennings could use some no-name-calling help.
Well, I did read that, and it just seems like you can't hold a respectful dialogue with them before it suddenly degenerates into being called a homophobe, a bigot, or, you know, any other kind of adjective that they can come up with. And so they, as you said, are experts in the name-calling.
Yes.
But
so,
what concerns me, too, is that there's no reason that we can't stop bullying without having it become a promotion of the lifestyle. For example, if we have kids that are teased for being too thin because they're anorexic or dealing with bulimia, that doesn't mean that to protect them or make them safe, we have to then promote the behavior that is causing the problem in the first place. But that's what they're doing with homosexuality.
Yes. Now, GLSEN, of course, Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, they're the experts at this. And they have created, used a lot of their time and money to create the idea that, that homosexual kids are just terribly victimized in school, you know, with these surveys, which, of course, nobody really goes or tries to find out how reliable their statistics are, but they're always promoting these statistics. I have in front of me the 2009 National School Climate Survey, and this is another one of the GLSEN projects, which talks about how, you know, here's a, you know, 30% missed of gay kids missed at least one entire day of school in the past month because they felt unsafe or comfortable. They're using the idea of safety to promote homosexuality, which has always rubbed me wrong, Barb, because homosexual practice in many instances is not safe. You know, we talked about the statistic that came out from the CDC, 1 in 5 men who have sex with men has HIV, and 44% of those didn't even know they had it. I mean, this is not a safe lifestyle. So it's amazing that they're promoting it to children in the name of safety.
Yes, and really, homosexual behavior is one of the most hazardous behaviors that kids could get into, start practicing. And what happens is when you look at GLSEN and the school climate report, you know, some of these statistics that they're using are questionable at best. And these are really, the studies are done by in-house activists. So I think we have to question their surveys to begin with. But then we have them coming in with their Safe Schools manual to make our schools safer, the Safe Space kits. And they all sound wonderful, but what they are really doing is making our schools less safe, unsafe for all students, not just the students that are sexually confused, but for others that are not, because they either lead them down that path or lead them to becoming advocates and affirming the kids that are sexually confused to begin with. So these are very dangerous programs to have into the schools.
Yes, and of course they're trampling over the rights of kids not to be receive pro-gay propaganda in what was supposed to be a time to learn.
Yep.
You know, schools for reading, writing, arithmetic, as they said, or used to say, it's not for pro-homosexual propaganda. And yet, that's what these kits do in a lot of these GLSEN projects. You brought to my attention the Safe Space Kit. It's called, quote, "A Guide to Being an Ally to LGBT Students." And for the uninformed, LGB stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender students. Tell us about what's in these Safe Space kits. Sounds so great, Barb. They're sending these out to schools, right? To public schools all over the country?
They are, and anyone can download it from the GLSEN website so you can see what's in it for yourself.
That's GLSEN.org.
Correct. And these were distributed, the website was given out to schools, psychologists, counselors, teachers in our school district, because of the bullying issue. And so now this is being used as the antidote to stop bullying, get your Safe Space kit, and you can, you know, learn how to put an end to bullying. But parents don't realize, and many of the teachers too, when they see this, that there really is a political agenda with this, because it goes beyond stopping any kind of derogatory language. On page 23, you see it instructs the teachers to not only correct derogatory language, but incorrect language. And they have given a whole new list of terms, and they are changing language itself, all the sexual terms. And so,
give us examples, Barb.
We
got 30 seconds now, so just we'll start it and we'll finish it up after the break.
Okay, inclusive language. Use partner instead of boyfriend or girlfriend or husband and wife. And don't use gendered pronouns. Use they instead of he or she. And so, and talk about that there is no one certain way a person should be, that you can be open to all the identities and expressions. So you see that little by little they're changing our language to accept all of these lifestyles and all of the sexual behaviors, and it really is becoming sexual anarchy.
Okay, we'll be right back with Barb Anderson after the break.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Barb Anderson of the Minnesota Family Council. I'm Pete LaBarber with Americans for Truth. We're coming to the end of the year. If you'd like to make a donation to Americans for Truth, just go to our AmericansForTruth.org, and there's a gift button at the top. Our donations are tax-deductible, and we could use your help. So by all means, help us out and help out the Minnesota Family Council. That's MFC.org. They do great work there in Minnesota. But Barb Anderson's work exposing the pro-homosexual indoctrination that's going on across the country is starting to receive national attention in the pro-family movement. And Barb, you're a very gifted writer, and you state things clearly, and I hope word gets out about what you're doing. But let's go back to this incorrect language for a second. Okay, so you don't say husband and wife anymore. You say partner?
No. The partner is the term to use.
Okay.
Because we want to be, this is inclusive language.
Yes.
And what they're doing is really denying God-given gender, male, female, and that people are made in the image of God. And now you can, instead of being in God's image, you create your own image. You can choose the gender and design your own gender, basically.
Yeah. Now, how many genders are there now? I mean, a few years ago there were five, but there must be like, what, 8, 9, 10 now? How many genders are there?
Well, what is interesting is they, just a couple years ago, there was a survey that was given to our high school students at Anoka High School, and a student from the Gay Straight Alliance put out this survey, and on the survey it asked, the first question was, what is your sex? Male, female, transsexual, prefer not to say. The second question was, what is your gender? Now, notice they separate sex from gender. Here are the choices, Peter. Man, woman, androgyn, multigender, intergender, bigender, third gender, two-spirit, agender, gender fluid, transgender, male to female, transgender, female to male, pangender, other, not sure, prefer not to say. And I thought, the kids after reading this, probably quite a few of them are going to check, I'm not sure. I mean, there
we're
so
doomed,
many choices
Barb. We're just doomed. I mean, you know, you need a PhD to keep up with the acronyms in the homosexual side, you know.
Absolutely. They keep adding new ones all the time.
Well, what is when you see now LGBTQ? Now, I know the Q was once questioning, but now there's sometimes two Qs. What's the other one? Is that
queer? Well, the Q stands for queer. They actually use those terms themselves. It's interesting. They don't want anyone else to use derogatory terms and call somebody queer, but this is very common language that they use themselves. As you've seen in university-level queer studies, they use that all the time. So the Q can stand for questioning students or queer.
Well, Barb, seriously, though, the questioning part, this must have intrigued you. You know, when you have a student who's questioning his, quote, sexual orientation or his gender identity is another term they use for the transgender issue, why would a school presume that it should only expose that kid to one side of the issue? If he's really questioning, shouldn't they bring in somebody, maybe an ex-gay, who could advise him from that side? I mean, these kids say, you know, they call themselves questioning, but they're not getting the full information.
Well, and they call themselves inclusive, but they don't include ex-gays. They say they're tolerant, but they're not tolerant of ex-gays. This is a whole message that they do not want heard, because then that takes away the myth that they're born that way.
Right.
If they can become an ex-gay, then they can no longer promote the concept that they're born that way. And because of this lie that they're telling kids that they're born that way, that's they're getting more and more into the schools on that basis.
Right. You got to love the, you know, the hypocrisy. You can be a guy who believes he's a girl who then becomes a lesbian or a transgender. You know, all these odd changes, but a person leaving the homosexual lifestyle saying they're not gay any longer, that's something they can't accept.
No, absolutely. And it's so sad because, you know, there is just no diverse, when they say appreciate diversity, there's not diversity of viewpoint. They want everybody to think alike on this.
Yeah.
And it is so sad when you see how they come into the schools. I mean, this survey is just one example. And on the survey, they also ask the question to these kids, Many believe that their religions describe homosexuality or the acts of homosexuality as sinful behavior. Do you believe that homosexual activity is sinful? And so they're trying to undermine the religious and moral views that parents are teaching their kids. They have the kids write their names at the end of the survey and ask if they want to be interviewed. They try to shape and change the views of the students by the question that they ask in the survey. And I do have to give credit to our school board. When they found out about this, they put a stop to it immediately. So we were very grateful for that. But this continues on in school after school, where they're making inroads by using these gay straight alliances. And now the Safe Space Kit, giving ideas for teachers how they can become advocates and the strategies like this one and others that they can use in the schools to convince people that they're born that way and that they need to advocate for this lifestyle.
Now, Barb, you had the terrible, there was a suicide, I believe, in Minneapolis, a well-known one. What has been the effect on your work from all this bullying talk coming in the wake of that tragedy?
Well, in the wake of that tragedy, I would say that we have had more of the pro-gay materials flooding into our school district because they are using that as a Trojan horse to bring in, playing on the emotions of the people involved. And of course, this is just a horrendous tragedy for this family. But playing on the fact that we've got to get more of this in the school so this doesn't happen to other kids.
Right.
And so that's where all of this pro-gay training is coming in, and it's making for harder for parents to stop it. It's just, you know, really coming in like a tsunami, basically, into the training for teachers. But we do have an outstanding policy, our sexual orientation curriculum policy, which parents can look at on the Parents Action League website. And this is the one piece that is keeping it out of the classroom. And we are so thankful for our school board that they have this in place. And I would recommend that other school districts do this as well.
Give us that website, Barb.
The ParentsActionLeague.org.
ParentsActionLeague.org.
And they can download the sexual orientation curriculum policy that was written by our school board members and is in place and is the one piece that is keeping these kinds of pro-gay materials out of the school day.
Mm-hmm. Now, back to the Safe Space Kits from GLSEN, Barb. I'm looking at some of the other things they're recommending. Teachable moments. Talk about that. What kind of teachable moments? What do gay activists mean when they talk about that for the classroom?
Well, this is something that is very much concerns me because we have, as I said, we have this policy that says this is, homosexuality is not to be taught during the school day in the classroom, and you're not supposed to have any curriculum materials that refer to this. But any teacher can use a teachable moment. If they see a child being bullied or hear a comment, a derogatory term, a homosexual term, they can take that and not only stop the language, but you know, a teacher has total freedom in the classroom, and they can turn that into a moment where they can present their view of homosexuality and talk about that in a positive light.
Right.
And so that's why parents need to be very careful and know the values and viewpoint of the teacher that their child has, because this has happened in classroom after classroom where they take this opportunity either for a student one-on-one or for the whole class and turn it into a little soapbox to promote homosexuality.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's another one that GLSEN puts in its Safe Space Kit. School checklist, page 28, gender-neutral and or private bathrooms and changing areas, gender-neutral alternatives to king and queen. Okay, so let's do the bathrooms first. You have to have a one for the transgender students. And then also, they don't like prom king and prom queen, right?
That's right. So this is kind of their wish list, so to speak, that is in their Safe Space Kit and a checklist so you can see how, you know, what your school is like and also give you ideas as to what to move towards, what some of your goals are and strategies to get to that point. But this is what they would like to have, are these, you know, gender-neutral bathrooms.
And Barb, you know, I think people who even aren't religious, would just see that some of this is just nuts. You know, I mean, if parents knew, and it comes back to what we talked about in one of our earlier interviews, most parents just don't have a clue. And you had the opportunity to go to something called SEED. I want you to explain what this is, but this is teacher training. And tell us about that, because what parents don't understand is this begins way back when the teachers are in college and they're learning what to teach, and they're being grounded in these pro-gay myths and these manipulations that are used by the homosexual side, and then those teachers pass them on to the students. So talk about that.
Oh, yes, I can remember when I was in college that we would have these speakers come in and, of course, you know, present homosexuality in a positive light, and that is when it was not called sexual orientation. It was called sexual preference, and it's interesting how they've changed the terms on that.
Because well, you're really time, dating yourself there, Barb.
I am. Okay, well,
now you were educated as a you got your a teaching degree?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
From the University of Minnesota. And most recently, I would say a few years ago, actually in 2003, it was that I took the SEED diversity training to renew my teaching certificate.
And what is SEED?
SEED stands for Seeking Educational Equity and Diversity. It's a national multicultural teacher training program, and they have been training not only college students but K through 12 teachers since 1987. So there's thousands of teachers that have been trained with this, and they have SEED trained leaders that go to Wellesley College in Massachusetts and take their training from Emily Stiles and Dr. Peggy McIntosh, are the co-founders of SEED. And co-directors, Dr. Peggy McIntosh is the founder of SEED. They get trained there. They come back to their school district, and then they hold monthly sessions for the teachers in a three-hour class. And I was in a class, I believe it was about 12 or 15 teachers in there. And they have several of those held around the school district, and we have many school districts in Minnesota that hold these. And each month, you discuss a different book based on a different ethnic culture, Hispanic, Black, Hmong, etc. But one month, the culture that you discuss is homosexuality, because that is considered a sexual subculture, so it gets a month all of its own. And so in the SEED training, their goal is to make school curricula what they call gender fair and multicultural. And we know that that means a real more than that. It's a political and social agenda, not an educational agenda.
Well, I want to hear all about this. We're talking to Barb Anderson from the Minnesota Family Council. I'm Pete LaBarbera with Americans for Truth. You can find all in our interviews on our website at americansfortruth.org. Click the icon at the right, and they're all there for you, easy to listen to. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. We're in our last segment of our last part of our three-part interview with Barb Anderson and Minnesota Family Council, and I've appreciated, Barb, your great work that you do in exposing what's going on in the schools. And, you know, you were talking about this SEED session, and you went to one of these. Did they know who you were?
Yes, I believe they did, because it was interesting. When I signed up for the SEED class, I got all the materials and was welcomed in, and then suddenly the diversity director called me and said that, whoops, I really couldn't be in there, and wouldn't I like to take it in another school district? And I said, no, I would like to take it here, so I had to have the superintendent reinstate me.
Oh, they're not so tolerant when it's against their ideology. But tell us the story of how you found out that at one local elementary school, apparently, you heard from the instructors that a couple of lesbian moms were brought in to an elementary school. Tell us that story and what happened.
Well, yes, she was telling in our SEED class that that lesbian parents, she would bring them into the class to talk to the students and to introduce them to the kids in her classroom. And these were third and fourth grade children. And without telling the parents in the class, and one of the other teachers in the class said, "You can do that?" And she said, "Oh, yes." And so kind of, again, giving ideas of way to use teachable moments in the classroom. And I happened to tell another parent about this. Well, I was reprimanded in class when this other parent called this teacher, because I broke the group trust, and I had told something out of class, because you're not supposed to tell anything that goes on in the SEED class. So she definitely reprimanded me for doing that.
Hold on one sec, Barb. So there, you just told a parent. The parent complained to the school, said, "Hey, you're bringing these lesbian moms into third graders." And then the administrator of the school must have contacted the SEED instructor, and you were reprimanded. So this again points out what's going on. The parents have no clue. If it weren't for you attending that class, they would have gone on holding these lesbian little mini propaganda sessions with these impressionable kids, and nobody would know unless a student happened to go home and report it. And that's
right.
That's the scandal of it all.
And most elementary students wouldn't think to go home and tell their parents, but these seeds of acceptance of same-sex parenting are starting to be planted in the minds of these young children.
Because they know they can't talk to them about actual homosexual behavior, so the only place they area they can discuss is homosexual parenting, right?
That's right. Yes, and it's so sad when you see how they are using this as a platform in the schools, and even they were even talking about in my seed class how, you know, some elementary children are in a relationship, two boys that are very effeminate that are in a relationship together, and I'm thinking, what do you mean a relationship? Two little boys like to play together. And at that age, boys don't like girls. So you can see the danger of putting these thoughts in kids that, hey, if there's two little boys that are hanging out together, they might be gay. What kind of nonsense is this?
Now, who taught that?
Kind of thinking that goes on in seed.
That was one of the instructors who taught that these two boys were in a, quote, relationship?
Yes, yes.
Oh, it's just so depressing. Now, Barb, how did the seed end for you? Did you go through the whole program and bring it back, and then you wrote a report, which is available on your website?
Yes, I went through the whole program, and it was interesting. You sign up each month. A different teacher takes over the discussion for that month on a book that is to be read, and you lead the discussion in the class. I signed up for February to lead the discussion on homosexuality, which they didn't like, and they suddenly changed the book from a discussion of this book, Am I Blue?, which I read and realized why they did not want this discussion led. This is just an amazing piece of sexually explicit gay and lesbian-themed literature, to a discussion of our district's policy on homosexuality. And so that day, that was in February of 2004, what you do is you go around and you have each person hold something, and when they're holding that item, they have the floor, they can express their viewpoint, and nobody can interrupt them, and then each person gives their view and shares their view. So we went around the whole class, and everyone listened, and I realized that they were all opposed to our district's policy on, against teaching of homosexuality. Then it got to me, and it was my turn. So everybody was respectful. Everyone listened to everybody else. It was interesting that one night our diversity director came into the class, and he said that he was there simply as a resource. He never showed up as a resource for any of the other discussions for any of the other teachers, only for my class. When it was my turn to speak and share my view, suddenly all respect went out the window. All tolerance was gone. He interrupted me multiple times. Suddenly he said, "You're calling homosexuals sexual predators." I said, "Did anybody in this class hear me say that?" No one said a word. And he said, "Well, it's in your materials." I said, "Where is it in my materials? You show me where it's in my materials." He couldn't find it. He ended up apologizing for that. I passed materials around. He confiscated them. He never did that to anybody else. He interrupted me multiple times. It was just amazing, the intimidation, the harassment. When I talked about homosexuality, as I talked about the two different viewpoints, when I got to the viewpoint that they're not born that way, that option, three teachers got up and walked out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, SEED emphasizes respecting all voices.
Right.
When they got up and walked out, neither of the SEED leaders said a word or stopped them, nor did the diversity director put a stop to that. I mean, this was the kind of treatment that I received. Then the next class that we had, they said that the teachers felt intimidated because I had been taking notes and that I was to stop taking notes in the class. And I asked our SEED leader, I said, "Why would they be afraid of me taking notes if what they are saying is good and truthful?" And she didn't have an answer for that. So I wrote a statement that I read to the class about the treatment that I received at the hands of the diversity director. One of the teachers that had gotten up and walked out apologized to me, but the two others did not. And the SEED leaders in my class never did apologize for the treatment that I received. So when SEED talks about being respectful of diverse viewpoints, it's not true.
Well,
it's only tolerating one viewpoint.
Right, and that's
viewpoint.
And that's what we see in the schools. And Barb, we've got 2 minutes left. I want you to talk about where you see the kids these days, because of all the propaganda that starts in elementary school in some areas and goes on through high school and college. We now have a whole generation that is far more accepting of things like so-called same-sex marriage and gay adoption than people over 40, people over 45. Where you got a minute 45? Where do you see this all going, and how can we reach these kids so we can impart truth to them?
Well, I really think that we can win. With God's grace, we can. And we can stand against this onslaught by training our children. We have to teach them the truth to begin with. We have to educate them about what the truth is on this topic. We need to, I can see from how difficult it was for me to stand up against the seed trained leaders and gay activists, how intimidating it would be for a student. And we did have one student who wrote a letter to the editor after she got out of her multicultural class, which was led by a seed-trained leader. And she talked about how, as a Christian, her viewpoint was put down and how intimidated she felt in the class. But once she was out of the class, she wrote it all up and exposed what went on. And we need more courageous students that can do that. So we need to train them how to do that. And I think you're involved in a lot of that, Peter, with your Truth Academy, which I think is awesome and a great way to teach our young people how to stand firm on scientific facts and on God's truth.
Yes, and we are having our next Truth Academy in Columbus, Ohio, in April of 2011. And that is exciting. Barb, I hope you can be a part of that. Barb, one last word for parents, 15 seconds.
Parents, I just really encourage you to teach your children and to remember that your duty is to God and to His truth, and to not back down, to stand firm no matter what situation you face, because when you look at the homosexual population, they're only 2 to 3% of the population. We outnumber them by far.
Right.
But we need to step forward with boldness and be reminded that we have the truth on our side.
Thank you, Barb. That's it.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.